I invite your attention back to the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon. I have no idea how much longer I may or may not be here. I really don't know. This may be the last one, but then again, it may not. The Song of Solomon. Now, kind of, you can certainly read along with me if you have your Bible there before you, but whether you read or not, along or not, listen to these words. Listen to what it said. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and verse 6. Look not upon me. Think about that for a moment. Yeah. Look not upon me. In a day and age in which even amidst that which is called Christianity, most all emphasis is upon man.
Yeah.
Almost all emphasis is upon the fallen sons and daughters of Adam. And they want men and women to concentrate on themselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The believer says, look not upon me, because I am black. Because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. Think about that. The believer here is not casting aspersion. The believer here is acknowledging their union to all of humanity as a fallen creation.
Exactly.
You see it?
Yes, sir.
My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept.
Amen.
Do you sense this morning in hearing that read? Or as you read it along with me, do you sense the believer's struggle?
There
you go. Do you see that there? Do you sense the believer's struggle? Do you sense this sense of weight that the believer feels upon them?
Yeah.
Every true believer, and listen, I'm going to emphasize certain words here. Every true believer still, acknowledges their own depravity.
Yes, sir.
Every true believer, they all remember the demands of self-righteous legal bondage.
Yeah.
And every true believer, they all bemoan their own sinful lack when it comes to responsibility. Now, I did not say accountability. All men are accountable whether they like accountability or not.
Exactly. Yeah.
But every true believer still bemoans their own sinful lack of responsibility before God.
Yes, sir.
Now let's read it again in that light. Think of every true believer still acknowledges their own depravity. Do not look upon me.
Exactly.
I'm nothing to look at. I'm nothing to hang your hopes upon. I have nothing within me that's good before God, whereby we are forced by truth and reality to say with the prophet Isaiah that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. That is, the best that I can offer is a filthy rag in God's sight. Every true believer still acknowledges their own depravity. Look not upon me.
Amen.
You see it? But they all remember the self-righteous and legal bondage that was demanded of them in years gone by. Look at it. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me. Notice the past tense?
Yeah.
They made me not to keep. Now let's note that. Doesn't say they made me to keep the vineyards. No, they made me the keeper of the vineyards. But as I said, every true believer still bemoans their own self-righteous lack when it comes to responsibility before God. But my own vineyard have I not kept. My title for this morning's message is this: Who Keeps the Vineyards? It was probably took me four times to rewrite this message before I finally got it to where I felt like that's what I really wanted to say. I started off with legal bondage. Oh boy, that's really a happy message, isn't it? But that's not really what this passage is about. It's certainly mentioned here. We remember the legal bondage. And when someone tries to put us under that bondage today, we again feel that weight and that trouble. But think about it. Who keeps the vineyards?
Yes, sir.
You, today, sinner.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not a sinner, if you're watching this TV program and you're not a sinner, these words are not for you.
Exactly.
Now, someone will say, but the Bible teaches us that all men are sinners. That is exactly right.
Yes, sir.
But you go ask all men if they are sinners.
Yeah.
They will deny that most vehemently.
Yeah.
The question is not simply, does the Bible teach we are all sinners? I'm asking you this. Has God, through the Bible, through the Scripture, and through your own experience, has God taught you that you are a sinner?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. You, sinner, have you ever kept any vineyard?
There you go.
Have you? If you think you've kept a vineyard, then I'm not talking to you.
Exactly.
I have no message of good news if you think you've ever kept any vineyard whatsoever.
Amen.
See the title again. Who keeps the vineyards? The answer is not given us here in this verse. But the answer as to who has not kept the vineyards is certainly in this verse.
Amen. Exactly.
My mother's children didn't make me the keeper of the vineyard because they were happy with me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Huh?
That's right.
My mother's children were angry with me. Angry with me.
Yes, sir.
Do you see it? They made me the keeper of the vineyards. Not they made me to keep the vineyards. No, they made me. They put all the responsibility on me. Free will. Works religion never produces for man what it espouses to man.
Exactly.
You hear what I said?
That's right.
Free will works religion. I don't care if it's called Christian. I don't care if it's called Roman Catholicism. I don't care if it's called Islam. All free will works for that. I don't care if it's called Buddhism. I don't care if it's called Shintoism. It doesn't matter what it is. All free will works religion never produces for man what it espouses to man.
Right.
Those who demand God's law be kept. Now let's just zero it down now. Let's talk about God's law. Because right now I'm not worried about any other religion's law.
Exactly.
Let's talk about God's law. Those who demand God's law be kept. Notice what I say, kept. Men separate God's law by terms.
Yeah.
They call it the moral law. They often call it or the ceremonial law, or they call it the sacrificial law. They usually all leave out the civil and civic aspects of that law.
Yeah.
But let us remember, God's law is one unified whole.
Amen.
You cannot separate it into, there's a moral part, and then there's a civic part, and there's a ceremonial part, and there's a sacrificial part. Because the civic parts of the law, God's law, that which issued down from Sinai, the civic parts of God's law is just as moral as what men call the moral parts of the law.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, they are the outflowing of the first 10 commandments.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But even the ceremonial law and the sacrificial law were still moral in all of their character.
Amen. Exactly.
And James says if you offend in one point, he wasn't talking about the sacrificial.
Yeah.
As opposed to the ceremonial, civic, or moral.
That's right.
He wasn't talking about the civic as opposed to the moral or ceremonial or sacrificial. He says if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all.
Amen. Amen.
Paul puts it this way when it comes to the law. He that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them is what? Cursed.
Yeah.
Cursed. And yet even amongst some who profess free reigning grace, they try to separate God's holy law into little bite-sized manageable pieces. Now do they not? Now someone says, you shouldn't be so hard upon men. I ain't hard upon men. This book's hard. Don't look at me.
Yeah.
I am black. The sun has darkened me. Mac, it's out of my control. My condition is out of my control. Your condition by nature is out of your control. Some deny what we call original sin. That in Adam's fall, many were made sinners. That's what the book says. That's exactly what it means.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. I can't even manage my part of it.
Exactly. There you go.
I can't even manage my part of it.
That's right.
You, sinner. You, sinner. Have you ever kept any vineyard? Be honest now. Be true to your own soul now. Be true to the Word of God now. Have you ever kept any vineyard in your life?
That's it. Amen.
Think about it. Those who demand God's law be kept. If you're going to demand God's law be kept, you've got to demand it all be kept.
Yeah.
Don't try to pick and choose. God never gave you or I that right. Those who demand God's law be kept, they never do it themselves. But they demand it of you. And that's exactly what Paul said back in the book of Galatians. Listen to what he says. This is God's holy word. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 13. Well, let me look at verse 12 for the context. As many as desire to make a fair show in the what? The flesh. Because that's what the law deals with. Our flesh.
That's right.
What we are by nature. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The law deals with the flesh. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Why? Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. But here's the statement of it. For neither they themselves who are circumcised... Look at it!
Yeah.
Now you can be circumcised,
yeah,
but you can't what? Keep the law.
Amen.
That's right.
Do you see it?
Amen.
For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh.
That's right.
In other words, it's like this. Boy, aren't those people better be glad I set them straight.
There you go. That's right.
They better be glad I gave them a vineyard to keep.
Uh-huh.
Hmm?
There you go.
So again I say, those who demand God's law be kept, they never do it themselves, but they demand it of you that they may boast over you.
Amen. That's right.
God's law is, note that one word, is holy and just and good. And those who truly believe Christ, I'm talking about even believe Christ, they still acknowledge, not the law used to be holy, just and good.
Yeah.
Not that certain parts of the law used to be holy, just, and good. They still acknowledge that the law is holy, just, and good. And they also acknowledge that the law is, still is, a glorious condemnation of death.
Amen.
God's law was never intended to give life or sustain life.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right.
The law is to me. The law is to every truly, spiritually awakened sinner. The law is an indictment. The law is an arrest warrant. The law is bondage. And it's a glorious bondage.
Amen.
It's a glorious bondage. You see, until God Almighty opens your heart, mind, and soul to what you truly are in light of His law, you will never know what believers know. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept.
Amen.
When a man or a woman begins to brag to you about their starting to keep any part of God's law, they don't know God's law.
Amen.
You can't cry out with sincerity and truth that God's law is holy, just, and good, and then deny that it is a glorious condemnation of death.
That's right. Exactly.
Every time I read God's law for God's law, do you know what I see in me? Death.
That's it.
Death.
Yeah.
Death. Thou shalt. You know what I find out? I don't.
That's right.
God's law says thou shalt not. You know what I find in myself? I do. Read Romans 7. The Apostle Paul felt that same way. You know why? Because he was a true believer.
Amen.
He was a true Shulamite. He was one of God's people.
Yes, sir.
Again, the law is to me. The law is to every awakened sinner. It's an indictment. It's an arrest warrant. It is bondage. Don't ever deny bondage and its reality. You remember that account where our Lord was talking to some Jews? He said, if you know the truth shall make you free. They said, how shall you say we will be made free? We're Abraham's children. We've never been in bondage to any man. Now think about it. Think about it. Somebody said, well, they just misunderstood what he's talking about. Oh, they misunderstood it all right. Because they had no ability to comprehend what he was talking about. And he went on to say that in John 8:43. You read it for yourself. Why do you not understand my words? Or my speech, I'm sorry. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word.
Amen.
You don't really get it. You don't have eyes to see. You don't have ears to hear. You don't have a heart to perceive.
Amen.
Think about it. He says the truth shall make you free. And then they lie about the very freedom they claim they have.
Exactly.
He was talking about spiritual liberty.
Yes, sir.
Spiritual liberation, if you want to put it that way. They could only think in the lines of the flesh. Well, we've never been in bondage, Jim. They were under Roman boot at the time.
Exactly. Amen.
They had been in Babylon. Their forefathers had been in Babylon for 70 years.
Yeah.
Now, why is it they went there when Christ was talking about something else? Because they can't understand the truth of God.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A person that commits sin is the slave of sin.
Amen.
Christ said.
That's right.
Christ said it, didn't he? You ever committed a sin?
Yeah.
Even one.
Yeah.
Even one.
Yeah.
You are the slave of sin.
Yeah. Amen.
And I tell you what, he says, if you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free, then he say, goes on to say, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
Think about it. Some delight in putting other people in bondage. Look at Matthew. These are our Lord's words. Matthew chapter 23. Boy, I hope I'm right on that passage, Job. Boy, that's frustrating when you miss one. Matthew chapter 23. Look at what it says. Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do ye not after their works, for they say, and do not.
Amen.
Now look. Here's the point though he's getting at. For they bind heavy burdens,
yes,
and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders.
Yes, sir.
But, now here's the problem. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers.
Exactly.
They want you to be in bondage just for bondage's sake.
That's right.
I pray God that you've seen your bondage under His law.
Amen.
It's a very difficult, weighty place to be, but it's an act of God in free-reigning grace when He shows you what you really are in light of His law.
Amen.
And
Paul calls it in Romans chapter 8 the spirit of bondage.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But thank God He hasn't given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've been given the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Papa, my Father.
Amen.
But all their works. Why do men do that? Why do they lay these heavy burdens on men? Why do men try to tell believers that you're under the law in some way? Some way. In some manner, though, yes, it may be a limited manner, but you're under God's law in some manner. Look, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. Men will say this, I don't believe you have to keep the law to be justified before God, but you've got to be able to keep at least the moral law, to be able to have fellowship with one another. If I find fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, why do I need fellowship with you through something else?
Exactly. There you go.
If I'm accepted of God the Father in God the Son, why do I need God's holy law be kept by me?
Exactly.
It was kept by who?
Him.
Him. But all their works they do to be seen of men, for they make broad their phylacteries. Don't they still do that today in a manner? You ever seen these pastors going into the hospitals?
Yeah.
They'll be carrying a Bible that's probably some of them twice as big as this one I got right here. And usually in every room you can find by the Gideons a Bible put in one of those drawers.
Yeah, you're right.
Why? Because they want people to see me with my Bible.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. They make broad their phylacteries. What else do they? Verse 7, and greetings in the marketplace, and they love to be called what? Rabbi.
Rabbi.
Rabbi. Well, you've heard them today, old Dr. So-and-so. Don't they love that?
Yeah.
Oh, they love this one. What is it? I've done forgot it. What is it? Reverend so-and-so. Reverend, the great Reverend Pastor Brother so-and-so. Man, that's a mouthful of title. Why do men do that? To be seen of men.
That's right.
And you read it. Go through all what Christ said. Our Lord taught this. They have their reward.
Exactly.
Somebody comes up and pats me on the back because I want to be called Reverend. Joe, that's all I ever get out of it.
That's exactly right.
That's all you'll ever get out of that. So again, don't ever deny bondage. Mm-mm. Don't ever deny bondage. You're foolish if you do.
Exactly.
Some delight in putting others under bondage. If you speak to a man about bondage, speak to him about the way of deliverance.
Yeah.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hmm? The law's good if it's used lawfully.
That's right.
And what's the law for sinners?
Yeah.
For disobedient, for manslayers, for murderers, for adulterers, for whoremongers, for drunks, for thieves. Welcome to this church.
Amen.
Now that law shows me how bad I am in my flesh.
Yes, sir.
My only place of deliverance is Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
Think about it. Consider, and Joe preached upon this a few Sundays ago, is actually on June the 11th. 2017, this year. Hopefully it will be on the TV before this one ever airs on the TV. If you haven't heard that one, go get that message. June the 11th, 2017. Joe preached about the Gadarene demoniac. You remember that message? Good message. Think about this. Fetters and chains did not restrain him from evil.
That's right.
Fetters and chains did not constrain him to good.
Exactly.
There you have both sides of it.
Yeah.
The fetters and chains did not restrain him from evil.
That's right.
The fetters and chains could not constrain him to good.
Exactly.
The more they bound him, the wilder he got.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. That's what that whole passage teaches. Yeah. What was the only hope for that man? More fetters?
No.
They finally went to chains. He broke those. Running around naked like a wild man in the tombs. What was the only answer for his deliverance? Christ only.
Amen.
Made him to sit, to be clothed, and to be in his right mind.
Amen.
And guess who he was sitting in front of? Guess who he was clothed in front of? And guess who he was in his right mind in front of?
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The deliverer was the one he found, then found himself before Job, seated, clothed, and in his right mind.
Amen.
And it was, now think about it. It wasn't because he asked Jesus for anything. Jesus came to the coast of the Gadarenes.
That's exactly right.
As soon as he hit the shore, this man came running to worship him, even while he was full of devils, Joe.
Yes, sir. That's right.
This man, Jesus, knew there was a man of the Gadarenes that he had to deliver.
Yes,
His very presence started the whole thing to fall into place. Did it not?
Yes, sir.
His very presence upon the shores started the whole thing to fall into place.
Yes, sir.
Who keeps the vineyards?
Yeah.
Who keeps the vineyards? Well, what vineyards? The vineyards of divine law.
Yeah.
All divine law. Mosaic. Who keeps that? Christ did.
Amen.
Christ did. Who keeps the vineyards of divine natural law. Do you do that? Do you hold this world in store? Huh? Who keeps the vineyards of natural, divine natural law? Christ does.
Amen.
Who keeps the vineyards of divine, divinely ordained governmental law? Do you do that? Do the politicians do that? No. Our sovereign Lord does.
Amen.
Who keeps the vineyards of societal law? To where we don't break down like wild beasts of the forest and destroy one another at will. Who keeps that? You and I? No. He does.
Amen.
He does. Who keeps the vineyard of ecclesiastical law? Why is it that we're not at one another's throats constantly?
There you go.
Think about this book and all the rules that are in it.
Yeah.
How is it in the world that we can get along at all? Because we all like to pick and choose certain parts we like.
Oh, yeah.
And Mac, if I like the other parts different than the parts you like, we will be at one another's throat constantly.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not? Who keeps all of that in order? Yeah. Us? The pastor? The deacons? The people? No! Christ does.
Amen.
Christ does. Who keeps the vineyards of divine justice?
Yeah.
Hmm? Does man keep the vineyards of divine justice?
Yeah.
No. We put forth puny attempts.
You're right.
But look at our penal system.
Yeah.
It's so fraught with inconsistencies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can have a man, you can have somebody murder someone in cold blood. And sometimes they will get less time in prison than someone is caught with a little pack of dope in the pocket.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Right.
Even marijuana, and now they're legalizing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about it. Mm-hmm. Have we ever kept the laws of divine justice?
Yeah. Exactly.
Most parts use these phrases, and I like them. I'm going to start using them a little more now. Have you ever kept the divine law of preceptive acts? That is doing what you should do and not doing what you ought not do? To avoid what you ought not to do? Have you ever done that? No. But even more, have we ever obeyed, have we ever kept the law of satisfying penal acts? That is, when you have done wrong, can you truly satisfy God's justice? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. He's the only man that could die under the weight of sin and yet be justified in God's sight.
Amen.
Now there's a mystery. Justified. There's another part of that. Justified in the Spirit.
Amen.
Everybody did not look at Jesus Christ and say, "Wow, what a holy man."
You're right.
Now did they?
No.
Hmm? For 30 years they barely even recognized he existed.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
Do you think they're going to think any more about you?
Nope.
Here's more important. Do you think you ought to think any more about you? Huh? Look not on me.
Yeah.
I'm black. The sun has darkened me. My mother's children, they were angry with me. They made me the keepers of the vineyards. But my own vineyard, my own vineyard, my own responsibility. I haven't kept it. Mm.
Amen.
Christ only has done these things, folks.
Right.
Now, Paul's going to summarize it this way. Turn to Colossians. Now, I've got to move quickly through this. I will hit some of the, what I'm going to call the high spots. Colossians chapter 2. Turn there with me. Colossians chapter 2. And Paul is saying, I'm writing you Colossians, and I've also got the Laodiceans in mind. Remember them?
Yep.
No wonder he had them in mind. Huh?
Yeah.
Hmm? Now, I know we love to boast of how we're Philippi or this or that. Sometimes I feel all too much like a Laodicean. I say that with shame. I don't say that with joy and happiness. I'm writing to you, Colossians, and Laodicea. Look, verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Don't you want that? To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to find out who God is? Don't look to the law.
That's right.
Hear me?
Yeah.
You want to find out who God is? Look to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You want to find out the glory of God's law? Look to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's a man who kept it.
Yes,
lock, stock, and barrel.
Right.
All his heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Amen.
Mm. Look, and this I say, lest any man should what? Beguile you with enticing words. And oh, does not man love to do that?
Yeah. You're right.
For though I be absent in the flesh, I get what I need to do is write to you some rules, and you follow these rules. Is that what he says?
No.
I'm not around you. But what I'll do, I'll tell you, if you'll do all of these rules I'm going to give you, everything will be fine. Is that what he says? No. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord. How do we do that? By grace.
Yes, sir.
Only by grace. So then how do we walk? So walk ye in Him. The same grace that it took to get me to where I am today is the same grace going to have to carry me all the rest of the way.
Amen.
You want to look at how to walk? Look at Abraham. He had no written law.
That's right.
Yep, did he?
Exactly right.
Yet he's called a friend of God.
Yeah.
It says he believed God and was counted him for righteous. He had no law. Sinai was still just an empty mountain out in the desert.
That's right.
Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Yeah. That's not putting down God's law. That's the truth of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at it. As you rooted and built up, where? In Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein without thanksgiving. Beware lest any men spoil you. Take you like a piece of meat and set you upon a shelf and just let you start to rot.
That's it.
That's what he's talking about. Yeah. Beware lest any men spoil you through philosophy. But we got to figure this out now. No, don't figure it out. Believe God.
Amen.
Trust Christ. Walk after Him.
Yes, sir.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and what? And not after Christ.
Amen.
You see it? Christ.
Amen.
Somebody says it can't be that simple. Ask the Gadarene demoniac.
Amen.
It was that simple.
Yeah.
Ask Lazarus, who was dead and rotten. It was that all it took was Jesus Christ to show up on the scene. Things started to change.
That's right.
Now, didn't it?
Amen.
And when He said, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
What did He do? He that was dead walked out of that tomb.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, well, the best place for Lazarus is to stay in them rags. Well, that way he can't do a lot of things he shouldn't do.
Amen.
No, what did He say? Loose him. And bless God. Now, I added that, but it's still the truth of Scripture. Loose him and let him go.
Amen.
You remember the story that Bruce Crabtree gave us about that dog in his neighborhood? And that dog was on this big old chain, and just constantly, every time he'd walk by when he's trying to walk, doing his exercise, that dog would rush to the end of that chain. Bang, bang, just growl, wide open, growl. And one day, Bruce said he was doing his walks, and here he come over the little knoll, and there's that dog sitting there unchained right in the middle of the street. And Bruce said, uh-oh, he's got me now. He said, you know what that dog did? It walked up and licked me on the hand.
Right.
You know the only thing you can attribute that to is what Bruce said? His freedom.
Yeah, that's right.
His freedom. As long as he was bound. Just like that Gadarene demoniac, I will not have this on me.
Yeah.
Oh, but once they're gone, if the Lord is the one that's delivered you. Now, if religion has delivered you, you'll go right back to your corruption.
Amen.
That's what
if religion is what it's all about to you, you'll turn wholeheartedly to religion. You'll become a religious maniac.
Oh, yeah.
But if Jesus Christ has delivered you, you will be found seated, clothed, and in your right mind, before Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He's the one that it matters.
Exactly.
Go on and look at what it says. Him. Him. Look at it. Him. 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 Look at it. Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come. All that law.
Yeah.
But the body is of what? Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. And this is what religion. They're voluntary up their humility.
Oh yeah.
No sir. God's going to put your face in the dust. And even while your face is in that dust, every part of your face and every part of the dust will just scream out with pride and malice and deceit. But God will put your face down there.
Yes, sir.
Look at it. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which you hath not seen, vainly puffed up by fleshly mind, and not holding the head.
Amen.
What should I hold on to, Pastor? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
grab him like Jacob did when he wrestled with that angel and say, I will not let you go till you bless me. And only God can make you do that. Only God can make you do that. Now here's the summary to all of this. Turn to John now. Be turning to the book of John. Who keeps the vineyards? Now look at it. We're getting that. You're getting close to John chapter 15. Starting to ring a bell. Anybody? Who keeps the vineyards?
Yeah.
John chapter 15, one verse. This is Jesus Christ speaking. I am the vine.
Amen.
The true vine.
Amen.
At best, we're just branches.
Exactly.
Huh?
That's it.
Our only place of hope is in the true vine.
Amen.
Right? You look at what it says here.
That's what it says.
I am the true vine. Who keeps the vineyards?
Yeah.
And my Father is the husbandman.
Amen.
There's who keeps the vineyards. What vineyards? All of them.
Amen.
All of them.
Yeah.
You're worried about what's going on in society? Don't.
There you go.
Exactly what He's ordained in this vineyard is what's happening. Yeah. God help us to quit our complaining.
Amen. You're right.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Why? He's the husbandman.
Amen.
God's the husbandman. Christ is the true vine. You think He will take care of Christ?
He got that right. There you go.
He's highly exalted Him, Joe. You said it.
Yeah.
He set Him down at His right hand. And guess where we're at? In Him.
Yes. Amen.
In Him. I remember one preacher said this. What is the sole purpose of a branch? What's its sole desire of a branch? Especially after, in light of this, John 15.
Yeah.
I want to abide in the vine.
Amen.
That's where I want to be. I am nothing without the true vine.
Amen.
I'll just wither up and die.
That's right.
Without the true vine. So that, who's kept the vineyards? It ain't me.
No.
It ain't you. God Almighty is bringing all of this, all of it, every vineyard to fruition according to His own sovereign purpose and power.
Amen.
Amen. Father, oh, God, teach us these things. Teach us these things. And we know these things must often be learned by hard experience, difficult experience. But, oh, God, even Your grace will supply us in those things. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Joe.